It's my pleasure to welcome up to give the sermon today, my brother, John Haruna. Give him a big round of applause.
Amen. Let me come closer so I can see the church. I'd like Rewen to just come and read today's text.
The reading is 2 Kings 4, 8 to 17. One day Elisha went to Shunem, and a well-to-do woman was there who urged him to stay for a meal. So whenever he came by, he stopped there to eat. She said to her husband, "I know that this man who often comes our way is a holy man of God. Let's make a small room on the roof and put in it a bed and a table, a chair and a lamp for him. Then he can stay there whenever he comes to us." One day when Elisha came, he went up to his room and lay down there. He said to his servant Gehazi, "Call the Shunammite." So he called her, and she stood before him. Elisha said to him, "Tell her, 'You have gone to all this trouble for us. Now what can be done for you? Can we speak on your behalf to the king or the commander of the army?'" She replied, "I have a home among my own people." "What can be done for her?" Elisha asked. Gehazi said, "She has no son, and her husband is old." Then Elisha said, "Call her." So he called her, and she stood in the doorway. "About this time next year," Elisha said, "you will hold a son in your arms." "No, my lord," she objected. "Please, man of God, don't mislead your servant." But the woman became pregnant, and the next year, about that same time, she gave birth to a son, just as Elisha had told her.
Thank you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we just want to say thank you for the privilege of being here. We ask that you send us your word expressly this hour. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Let me start this sermon with something that happened between my daughter and I. One day, Lola said to me, Lola is my wife, said to me, "Please help take Joanna to school." And I said, "Okay, I'm running late. It's on a Monday. I need to drop you quickly and then go to work. But I'm going to have to drive, because if I have to take you to school and catch the train, I might miss my train, so I'll drive." Joanna says, "No, Daddy, you're not driving." I says, "Joanna, I need to drop you and go to school." She said, "I know, Daddy, but you shouldn't drive. You need to walk. It's going to take me about 25 minutes to walk to your school." She says, "Yes, Daddy, you're too fat. You need to do some exercise." Having said that, I quickly jumped into my shoes and quickly walked her to school. Now, we all experience difficulty and challenges that appears to be permanent. We might even start believing that these things might never go away. And as a human, it's one of the attributes that we have. We hold on to things, especially when they're not very good. Says, "This has come." Many of us have started life with very beautiful dreams and goals and aspirations and desires. But over time, the wind of challenge, the wind of frustration, the wind of failure sets in. And we kind of lose hope and confidence and trust. And the easy way is to just hold on and just say, "Maybe that is not what God wants for me. Maybe I'm going too fast. Maybe this is just the punishment I deserve." We just have this way. It's just to cushion ourselves from the reality and says, let me just stay away from this. Maybe God don't want it. But what you don't see is that behind all this storm is a God working on your behalf. Whatever God has promised, no matter how big it sounds, He intends to bring it to pass. It may sound impossible, the facts may not actually add up, but because God has said it, it will surely come to pass. All these circumstances that we are going through, somebody once said to me, he said, "What I'm going through took 10 years. And I can't see any way out of it." But it doesn't matter how many years you've been going through these things, because God is a God of time. And the Bible says, in due season, God will visit. In due season. So His season may not be my season. It may not be your season. But in His season, He will turn up. And when He turns up, He is never late. He is always on time. Amen. Now, this reminds me of the story of this beautiful Shunammite woman in 2 Kings chapter 4 and verse 8. Elisha was a servant of God, and Elisha was coming into town. And normally, it's unannounced those days. A prophet just comes into town and they give the word and they leave. But the first thing that happened is what I want to talk about today. What we should consider doing. Number one, she saw the need and gave a little helping hand. The woman saw Elijah and said to her husband, I perceive this man is a man of God. Let us arrange a small table and feed him. One of the things I love doing is feeding people. I love to cook. So I would like people to visit my home so I can have the opportunity to cook for them so that they can eat and smile. But this woman felt that wasn't good enough. In England, if someone was to offer you food, they've done a lot. And that's even too much. Because here we work a lot of hours, we have children to look after. So to spend 2 hours to make that meal for you is asking for too much. But she didn't stop there. She said, come on, my husband, let us build a small house on top of our house so that he can stay there. No, that's going too far now. Feeding the man was stressful enough. She saw the need that after eating, you need to sleep, especially if you're eating pounded yam, very heavy food. But she didn't just stop there. She continued. She refused to let every other person's lack of desire or support to affect her judgment. How many of you know this? When you have decided to do something, there is somebody somewhere who thinks that thing is not necessary. How many of you know what I'm talking about? But she wasn't pulled back by that. Somebody may say, hello, woman, what are you really after? Do you want people to notice you? To see how hardworking you are? She wasn't moved by that. She saw the need in the house of God, in the place of God, and she says, I will do everything within my power to help. And discouragement is easy. One of the first things I learned when I arrived in England is that people say very positive things about you even when they don't mean it. But that's good enough. That's good enough. If somebody looks at you and says something nice to you, it doesn't really matter how they feel. The fact that what comes up to you is good is God sent. And I'll say amen to that. So she went about doing her stuff. She said to her husband, let's build the house. Let's put this servant of God there. And the third thing that happened, can I have number three? Yes, thank you. She wasn't expecting anything bad. All these sacrifices, all this pain, all this time. I imagine on a Sunday morning at New Life, somebody turns up at 9, grabs the drums, grabs the keyboard, and gets the coffin and moves them into the auditorium. And the purpose behind it is service to God, not a recognition by anyone. That's what she was doing. How do I know that? Elisha said to Gehazi, who is his servant, he said, this woman has done quite a lot for us. She's given us food. She's given us a place to sleep. Go and get her. Let's see what she wants. People don't normally do things for nothing. She's done this for something. So go get her. And Gehazi got to her and said, excuse me, miss. You've been so lovely to us. You've been so kind to us. The servant of God has sent me to ask you, what do you want? I want nothing. He went back to Elisha. She said she wants nothing. Go back to her. Tell her I can put in a good word to the king or the commander of the army. Now, in those days, the king was difficult or impossible to see. You can't even approach the commander of the army. It's a no-go area. But Elisha was saying, I'm going to go to the king on your behalf, and I'll put in a good word, send some guards to guard her home. She says, no, I haven't done this because of that. And number two, I'm very much aware and conversant with the king because he's a personal friend. So I don't need that favor. And that is where we are as a human. We do what we want in the house of God for the glory of his name, not for any earthly reward. But there's something about God that makes him different from any man. Amen. Let's just look at the next slide. God will not stop until you're blessed. When you have proven to God that you are genuine and sincere in his service, he will not stop until he brings you to the place of your joy. Now, when I started reading the scripture, I didn't understand why Elisha kept saying, what do I want to do for this woman? But it's because of the heart of God. And look at what happened here. Elisha said to the woman, come, let me help you. The woman said, I don't have any need. I don't want you to do anything for me. Everything I need, I have. The first verse there says, verse 8, it says she was a wealthy woman. Financially speaking, Elisha couldn't help. Support-wise, Elisha couldn't help. She's got a good husband. The husband will listen to her. So she didn't need marital support. She's got guards. She didn't need protection. In her eyes, she's got everything that she needs and she wants nothing. But that hasn't stopped her from serving God. Yes, I have everything, but I still want to please God. And so God says, I will owe no man. So God arise that day and said, now, what can I do for you? There's a king in the Bible called Solomon. The Bible says one day Solomon got so happy, got 1,000 cattle and slaughtered them in one day in sacrifice of thanksgiving. And the Bible says, and God came down. It takes a lot to bring God down. I work in a local authority that runs the department for the NHS. And the hierarchy is we've got a medical director, we've got a consultant, we've got a junior consultant, we've got registrars and everybody that way. If you have a need to speak to the medical director, that's a hard thing. There are some medication you need to prescribe and you need his signature on it. And you can talk of days of waiting and having to email. You're in the same office. He's just one floor above you. You have to send an email through his secretary. But God, that is king above every other king, came down at the act of one man that pleased him. And the Bible said, God said to Solomon, what would you want me to do for you? Blank check. If God said that to me today, I hope he doesn't regret it. I will not be greedy. No, I will not be greedy. I says, God, you want to do something for me? Can I have the check? I'll just put one in front of the check and a zero and a zero and a zero and a zero and a zero, 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 zero. I'm not greedy. Just too many zeros in front of the one. And put a pound sign. But that was what God put in front of Solomon. And the same thing God said to this woman. I will not stop until you're blessed. The woman says, I don't need any help. He said, go back to her and ask her again. Do I put in a word before the king? He says, no. What would you want me to do for you? The woman says, I am living amongst my people. I am content. But you have done so much things to provoke the mercy of God. So God couldn't remain at peace. There's another man in the Bible called Mordecai. The Bible says Mordecai was a man who pleased God. And in that same city was a man called Haman. He didn't like Mordecai. So he went to the king. And he said to the king, there are people in this land who hate you. And he persuaded the king to sign a decree that in few days' time, all the Jews in the land will be cleared. And they would just kept that. And one night, the king sat in his palace, enjoying all the beauty of his kingdom. And something came to his heart. And he called one of his guards, said, bring me the chronicles of the kings of Israel. And the Bible says, as he opened the first page, he saw a story there. There was a man. And this man had saved the king. And he asked the guard, what was done to this man who's done this great stuff? And he said, nothing. While he was speaking, one of the commanders, Haman, came in. And he said, Haman, come, I've got a big problem. Oh, and Haman said, oh, king, just tell me the problem and it is solved. There is a man who has done so greatly for this land and the heart of the king is pleased. And Haman just shook his head. That must be me. Who else can be great in the land? It just has to be me. And the king said, what would you think is right to be done for this man? And listen to me. Mordecai was serving God. So he refused to bow down to Haman when Haman passed. So Haman didn't like him. So Haman looked at the king and said, let's get your best robe and put upon his neck. Put him on your choice horse and let's ride him round the city and we'll be screaming, oh, God has blessed this man. And the king said, yes, go to the gate. Pick up that man called Mordecai and do as you have spoken. When the ways of a man pleases God, he makes even his enemies to be at peace with him. He makes them slaves to him. So God decided to come to Haman, to Mordecai, because Mordecai wouldn't stop serving God. Next slide. He will make sure you get back far more than you have given. All the woman gave was a piece of food and a room. That's the level of kindness that she gave. But many times, God doesn't measure what you give. He looks at the heart by which you've given it, and he multiplies that. Look at what it says in Luke. It will be given to you, how many measure? Good measure. Press down. For those who are from Nigeria, you know this. When you go those days, not now, if you try it now, you'll be arrested by the police. When you go to buy grain, they put them in a kind of container, and they kind of push it down. Press down. They shake it and put more. So you can contain a bit more. You try that now, you're going to prison. But that's what God will give you. Press down, shaking together, and running over. That's just too much. You just did one thing, and God is saying, I'm going to return that thing back to you in a good measure. That is greater than you've given. Press down and shake it and overflowing. That's the grace of God. God wouldn't stop. When you touch the heart of God in little things, I'll give you an example. I said to Michelle this morning, I said there was a day I came into church, had issues at work, and the last thing on my mind was laughter. But I said to my wife, as soon as I saw Michelle, the first thing she did was smile at me. And that smile was contagious. And I started laughing. And at that minute, the yoke on my neck, the burden on my spirit was taken away because of one person who just looked at me and smiled. Think of the person sitting next to you right now. How wonderful they are because they are sitting next to you. What a privilege it is to warm you on a cold Sunday morning. That's a good handshake. Thank you. The person is here today because of you, because of your smile. And those are the things that when it comes before God, God says, listen, I can't let this go unrewarded. Somebody makes tea every Sunday morning so we can come here and have it. Put the chairs in place. Now, let me say this clearly. You don't have to do anything for God to be blessed of him. You can't bribe him. But sometimes you can put yourself in a position that even God cannot stop but help you. She was good enough. She had everything she needed. Third slide. And what God decided to give was greater than she could imagine. She had all the money. She had all the friendship. She had all the connections. But all that couldn't give her the only thing that she actually needed. He said to Gehazi, go and ask her what she needs. I need nothing. What do you think she needs? Now, sometimes when God asks us, because we are quite humble and nice and gentle, we say, just bless somebody else. Just leave me alone. But God is saying, no, I want to bless you. So he said to Gehazi, what do you think we can do for her? And Gehazi said, have you not noticed? We've come here several times. We've never seen a child or their son or daughter come to visit them. They have no child. And Elisha said, go and ask, go and call her. He ran to her, called her, and she came in and stood by the door. You remember Sarah in Genesis? The angels came and called her, and she came and stood where? She stood by the door. I am content as I am. Don't bother me. And there was something that was killing her in her heart that she couldn't discuss with anyone. God, sorry. And Elisha looked at her and said, by this time next year, you will be carrying your own child, a baby boy. And she would have looked at Elisha and said, please don't deceive me. Listen, I know God in the way any man knows God. I have worked faithfully with him all these years. He hasn't given me a child. Please stop it. My husband is old. I have gone past the age of conception. Every science is pointing towards die without a child. And that I have accepted. Oh, this condition is incurable. Yes, it is. That's the fact of a man, but that is not the truth of God. So she looked at him and said, please don't deceive me. Just leave me the way I am. I am happy. The choice of words is killing me. I can't have this child. Elizabeth and Zechariah in the Gospel of John. Funny story there. Luke chapter 1. Thank you. Now, from verse 5, there was, in the days of Herod, the king of Judea, a captain, priest named what? Zacharias. He was a godly man. He was serving God all the days of his life. And that day, God himself appeared to Zechariah in the temple. Now, God didn't send a prophet. God came and said, you're going to have a son. Hello? Do you know my age? Yes, I made you. Before you were conceived in your mother's womb, I knew you. Do you know how old I am now? Yes. I count the number of days. That's God speaking. Do you know how old my wife is? Let's assume I'm even still young enough. Do you know how old my wife is? God said yes. Do you know the concept of menopause? Have you heard that word before? The Lord said, I created menopause. He says, oh, okay. If you created menopause, then you know that we have passed that stage. So leave me alone. The Lord says, no. I've come to give you a son. This is impossible. This can't happen. There is no explanation under the earth that will make this happen. Forget about it. And the Lord says, no. By this time next year, you're going to have a son. The same thing with this woman, Elisha said, by this time next year, you're going to be carrying your own son. This is something that money can give you. This is something that connection can give you. This is something that people's help can give you. This is something that comes only from God. Verse 6, and they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. Still, they had no child. Everything they did, blameless. They come to the church, blameless. Amongst their friends, blameless. Before God, blameless. Yet, no child. So sometimes you can say to yourself, I've done all the right things, and all the wrong things keep happening to me. The ways of God are not the ways of man. There's a man in the book of Genesis called Joseph. Joseph was obedient to God. His brother sold him to slavery. He was obedient to his master. The wife of the master lied against him. He was obedient in prison. And even the co-prisoners abandoned him in prison. But all these were part of God's plan to bring Joseph to the promised land. Everything that happened to Joseph, everything that is happening around you, to you or with you, God has a foreknowledge of it and he's destined to make a good of it. Lazarus was sick and he rushed to Jesus Christ and said, Jesus, hear this, Lazarus is sick and he will die. And Jesus says, Lazarus is not going to die. And they went back with joy in their heart. Jesus said, Lazarus is not going to die. So they went back with all the hope and aspiration for a new Lazarus. And few days later, Lazarus died. Oh, didn't we understand what Jesus said? Did we misinterpret what he meant? That was the thought on their head. On the fourth day, the Bible says, and Jesus came there. When he got close, Mary and Martha ran to him. Oh, Jesus, you have come late. If you had come 4 days ago, maybe you'll be able to help us. Now Lazarus is dead. And Jesus says, no, Lazarus is not dead. Hello, sir. We know you are the Messiah, but he's been dead now 4 days. If he was dead yesterday, we have a bit of confidence. 2 days, maybe hope. But it's 4 days. By now, he stink. So it's the end of the road. There is no hope. And Jesus says, don't you know who I am? I'm the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, even when they die, they will live. And Mary looked at Jesus and said, I know on the resurrection day. And Jesus says, no, right now, the resurrection is here. Lazarus, come forth. Everything that Mary did for Jesus wouldn't measure up to 1 minute that God intervened in her life. Her brother Lazarus, come forth. And the Bible says, he that was dead came back to life. If he brings back the dead, what situation are we in right now? What has the doctor said to you? What are the facts around your life? Said, John, you don't understand what I'm saying. My financial state is this. There was a time in Israel, there was a war, and there was famine in the land. And they called Elisha, and he appeared there. And he said to them, by this time tomorrow. And one of the king's men said, hello, even if God will open the windows of heaven, this cannot happen. God don't need to open the windows of heaven. The windows are always open. And his grace is always coming down to us. So the next day, the Bible record that there were some lepers at the gate of Israel. And they were going to die of starvation. And they said to themselves, let's go to the camp of the Philistines. Maybe there will be some remnant outside the gate. We'll just eat that. And the Bible says, as they were walking towards the gate of the Philistines heard the sound of many men. And they assumed that the sons of Israel were coming to attack them. And they ran away, leaving behind all the foodstuff and everyone had more than enough to eat, as Elisha has prophesied. Listen to me. Where you are located now is only a part of the story. Your story does not end where you are now. One day, I had a terrible landlord. I've shared this landlady she was. I've shared this testimony before. She took us to court that we're owing her £4,000 in rent. £4,000 in rent. My salary was barely £350 a month. How am I going to pay £4,000 from £350? Even if I save all the salary, it's going to take a couple of months. And the court gave us about a month to pay the money or be homeless. And I couldn't turn to any man, because who's going to have £4,000? Why can't you save it if somebody's going to have it? If you can't save it, I assume in my head, no one else can save it. So who can have it? So I went to God. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemy. 2 weeks down the line, a few weeks, I got a letter from Inland Revenue. And the letter says, we have searched through your file and we've realized you have overpaid tax. Because then I was an agency worker. So I work here 3 hours, I work there 6 hours, I work there 9 hours. I didn't even check that I was being overtaxed. And suddenly they said, we want to give you back the excess payment. And it came to £4,000. And when I saw the check, the Bible says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. That means he knows the end from the beginning. He allowed the situation because he had a solution at the end. He didn't allow me to owe $4,000, which I didn't know I was owing, because the landlady was very crafty. She would do a letter and keep it to herself. She never posted it to us. So when she got to court, she had close to 7 letters, which we have never seen. And the judge says, well, she's got proof, so you got to pay her. But when you serve a God that is as great as the God we serve, nothing should trouble you. But that did trouble me. But we shouldn't be troubled. Be not troubled. Be of good cheer. For as I was with Moses, so will I be with you. Joshua chapter 1 and verse 3. As I was with Moses, so will I be with you. You know how difficult it was to be with Moses? There was a Red Sea in front of Moses. And there were chariots of the Egyptians behind him. And that day, they would have said to Moses, prepare your grave here. Let's just dig the grave before they come. Because the Egyptians were very angry. They've lost all their 4 sons. They were coming with that anger in their heart. And the Lord said, be still and see the salvation of your God. I said, God, can you take me out of here first? I'll be still on the other side. It's difficult to be still in the midst of a storm. Is it a hell storm? It says, oh, have faith. It's hard to have faith. It's hard to believe. But when God says it, he means it. Is any sick among you? Let them come. And the prayer of faith shall heal the sick. It doesn't matter how many weeks it takes, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. It doesn't matter how it happens, the prayer of faith will heal the sick. So this woman became pregnant as the Lord has spoken. It is difficult to have faith, trust me. It is hard. There's a man in the Bible called the centurion. How many of you know that story? His son became unwell and he came to Jesus. And Jesus was saying, okay, it's fine. Let me go with you and lay hand on this child. The man says, you don't have to come with me. I know what you carry. And I think that is where, as Christians, we struggle. We don't know the God we serve. We don't understand him. He says, my ways are not your ways, as far as the heaven is from the earth. So are my thoughts from your thoughts. So there are things that are limiting. I just say things. If my wife called me now and says, oh, we have this problem, I probably say, oh, God help, have mercy. That's just a lip service. In my heart, who do I call now? Many of you here, I've called you once or twice. Please, can you help with this? And the person you're calling is actually going through something similar to what you're going through. But because they're kind enough, they'll probably listen to you. If you call me, I'll probably tell you my story first. But God is the only answer to every man's problem. The present help in the time of need. When you need something, call unto him. Joel asked me one day, Joel is my son. He said, Daddy, when we pray, when will God answer? 1 hour, 1 day, 1 week, 1 month, 1 year, or never? And that was a very difficult question. Then it was about 9. That's a very difficult question. When will God answer? It's the same question I ask myself when I pray. When will God answer? I don't know. If it's 1 hour, 1 minute, or 1 month, or 1 year, I don't know. But there is something I know he will surely answer. My faith in him is so trusting that I know he will answer. His due time, in his season, in the time according to his calendar, he will turn up. And he will not be late. Even when the situation is going to the end of the road, he will still turn up at the right time. Even when it appears that everything is going to close down, he will still turn up. Just hold on. Let me conclude with this. One of the smartest things the devil has learned to do is give excuse. Maybe God don't want it that way. Maybe what you are asking is outside the will of the step of the righteous is ordered by the Lord. That means everywhere you are going in his purpose, God is aware of it. What is happening to you, he's allowed it. In the book of Job, the Bible says that God said to Satan, "Have you considered my servant Job?" It was God that called Satan's attention to Job. And you will say, why will God do something so unreasonable? Because at the point where God was speaking to the devil, Job had reached the limit that he humanly can reach. And he's not letting God expand him. And God was provoked in heaven, saying, I want to do more for Job. How do I do this? And the devil stepped into the affairs of Job. And everything that Job had was gone. But that wasn't the intention of God. It was a passage for Job to get to where God wanted him to get. You say he lost all his children in one day? How do you explain that to a father? He lost all his business in one day. How do you explain that to a businessman? All his friends gathered together and said to him, tell us, we are your friends. What have you done wrong? You must have done something wrong to be in that situation. God is just. God is kind. God is faithful. He wouldn't let his defeat of his son to dash against a stone. That's how faithful God is. But the stone there was not for the son's feet to dash against it. It was a stepping stone to destiny. So God put the stone there on purpose. Not to trip you, but to help you climb the ladder. And that is what happened to Job. And the Bible says the end of Job was better than his beginning. That is God's purpose for you. So where you are now, by this time next year, you are going to be in a better place than you are now. If you believe that, say amen. God means that. But John, I can't see it. You don't need to see. Just believe it. Elijah said to Ahab, as I finally close, and Ahab said to Elijah, we need rain in the land. There has been drought for many years. And Elijah looked at Ahab and said, go home. I can hear the sound of the abundance of rain. And the king said, listen, Elijah, I just looked at the sky. There is nothing. There must be something to show me. And Elijah called his servant and he says, go out there and look at the sky and come and tell me what you see. And he came back and said, sir, there is nothing. He says, go back again and look. He went back and came and said, sir, there is nothing. He said, go back again and look. And the guy said, if I keep saying there is nothing, maybe this man will keep sending me out. So he came and said, sir, I can see something, but it's very small. It's like the fist of a man's hand. I see a cloud. And he looked at Ahab. If you don't want to be drenched in this rain, run now. And the Bible say Ahab began to run. Before he got to the gate, he was well beaten by the rain. So when God says something, he means it with every heart. So like he said to the woman, by this time next year, that the woman doesn't have any reason to believe it, God still did it. And I see God doing all that for us in Jesus' name. Let us rise. If you... there's someone beside you that you want to pray with, please feel free to join hands or put your hand on the person's shoulder if you know them and they're happy for you to do that. Find somebody, twos or threes, find someone that you can pray with. No one finds me worthy to pray with me. Thank you. Let's just go before him and just thank him for the privilege of having a God. Father, we thank you because we know you. You have drawn us closer to yourself. We thank you because you are faithful in all that you do. We thank you for the word of faith that you've spoken to our hearts. Father, we ask that you continue to encourage us, build our faith, build our confidence in you. Even in the time of extreme difficulty, give us the courage to know that you are there for us, that what you have said, you intend to do them. Father, we accept all the promises you have said to us. We pray this hour, Lord, that you continue to encourage our heart to believe in this thing. We thank you for our past battles and our current victories. And we thank you for our current battles because we expect a future victory. We thank you for all that you are. In Jesus' precious name. It's now time to pray for yourself. You have expectations. You have desires. You have struggles, just like me. No one else knows these things better than you do. Speak to God. Even when these words don't really add up. Even when what I have said today sound impossible to happen. We have a God with whom nothing is impossible. Ask him to turn up in your life, in your home, in your business, in your career, in your health, in your finances. Ask him to come. Come, Lord Jesus. Come into my heart. Come into my life. I can't do this without you. By myself, I have failed. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. Please help me. Even when my faith is not strong enough, Lord, help me. Please, Jesus.
Welcome this morning. If it's the first time for you here, very, very warm welcome. I hope the welcome is warmer than the temperature in here. Slightly cool, but the welcome is warm. I was thinking this morning about that possibly the most famous passage in the Bible, that beautiful Psalm 23. Thank you, Pat. And that verse particularly, verse 5, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And there's a sense of this table being prepared for us. And this isn't just a table. The implication here is that it's a table laden with things, good things for us. Our God is a God who's preparing a table for us of provision, of nourishment. And as we gather together this morning, we gather to that very table he has prepared. And I love that thing, surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life. It almost sounds like there's like a vapor trail as we walk with God of goodness and love. Wasn't that a lovely thought that as we come to this table today and as we leave this place, there might be a kind of vapor trail behind us of goodness and love for others to enjoy. Let's stand, shall we, this morning, and let's just pray. Let's just commit this time to God. Lord Jesus, we so thank you that you have indeed prepared a table for us this morning. Even as we have prepared this hall, this place where we've gathered this morning, set things up, Lord God, prepared ourselves maybe, got ourselves dressed, and got ourselves here, you have done something much more wonderful and profound. You have prepared for us a provision, a nourishment, a blessing this morning. And Lord, we want to receive the fullness of all you have for us this morning, Lord. We ask you to help us. Lord, we pray, would you help us to bring our hunger to this table today? Would you help us to bring our need of you to this precious table today? That you would sate our hunger and meet our deepest needs, Lord Jesus, that we might indeed, as we leave this place, that would this be a wonderful sort of flow of goodness and love following behind us, Lord Jesus. Lord, would you come? Holy Spirit, would you come? Lead us, we pray, even as we seek to worship Jesus. Holy Spirit, would you bring life and beauty to our worship this morning, Lord? Amen. Thank you, Jesus.
Okay, as I said earlier, if you're new to New Life, if it's your first time, you may have received one of these yellow cards, information cards that Daniel is holding up. If you could complete it, there's a white box at the back there on the information table. Pop it in and we'll be in touch with you. It'd be great if you could do that. Thank you, Daniel. Operation Christmas Child, that was a couple of weeks ago. That was the deadline. Just wanted to thank everybody for all the hard work, getting the box together, buying all the things that they bought, and just making a contribution. As you can see, we had quite a few boxes. So they've all been taken away, and they're going to find their way to their destinations in Eastern Europe, Africa, maybe further afield as well. Okay, and next Sunday, will be our special service, Chris Stingle. Now, this is a really, really special service, particularly for children. They get to hold candles under careful supervision, of course. And it's the beginning of the Christmas season for us. We get to celebrate. And in here, the lights go down really low, and it's quite a magical time. So it's really a good service to invite a friend to. So, that's next Sunday. Tuesday, we'll continue with the prayer meeting in Highgate Road Chapel. That starts at 7:30. And then later on in December, the 16th, we have our carol service, which starts at 4 p.m. It's going to be a fun time for all of us here at New Life. I think you would have found an invite on your chair when you sat down today. So we're going to be having some lovely food after the service, some finger food, so sandwiches and cakes and things. So if you're able to bring some along, double it if you can, so we can celebrate together and eat together. We also have, this will be further in, this will be in the new year, we have the Alpha course coming up. The dates will be announced next week. And that's it for the notices. Okay, the children are going to be making a move now. If you don't know where to go, there's an information... I was a bit quick in dismissing you all. Okay, Liz, you have something to tell us about.
Sorry, we had some miscommunication there. Yes, I have an announcement for a very special man's birthday coming up on Tuesday. It's a big birthday, but shh. not 30. Like many of you might think, he's turning. Can Daniel Daly please come up? I just want to say, yeah, for those of you who don't know us, we've been married for a year, and I've known him since he was in his early 30s. And I'm younger than him, by the way. just so you know. But I just want to say, as you all know, he's very young at heart. He will never grow old. He's ageless in everybody's eyes. Never grow old. He's very wise, though. So if you haven't had a chance to talk to him about anything in life, he will be happy to advise you. He's very wise. So it's not funny, it's true, it's true. So I just want to have everybody sing a happy birthday to Daniel. He's very special. Well. Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Should we sing both? Where's Kalenchi? Should we bring Kalenchi up here? We could sing to both. Is he not around? Did he already go to the class? Ah, there he is. Coming up.
Yeah,
is it today? Oh, is it? Okay. Yeah. So I hear your birthday is on the same day as Daniel, is that right?
Yeah.
Is your birthday? When's your birthday? What day? The 27th. Stand over there. Stand over there. Stand over there. So. Oh, another birthday. Come on down, Craig. Please join the party. Lovely. Tuesday. Wow. Okay, so after three, one, two, three. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Gleeshie. Happy birthday to you. Hey. So, big man, what will you be doing for the day? Do you know?
I'm going go-karting and then having some food, as all 40-year-olds do. Yeah.
Can we all come?
That's all. The grid is full, I'm afraid.
Thanks very much, guys. Thank you very much. Another round of applause. Now, all the children can go to their classes. If you're not sure where to go, there's an information point over on the right here as we continue with the service.